are listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Well, 10 years ago today, as Christmas 2002, or 2003, I guess, was settling upon us, hit the Wayback Machine. George W. Bush was in the White House. The Red Sox were sort of plodding their way through another offseason, still under the curse of the Bambino, and there was no such thing yet as a Christmas Celtic Sojourn. That was the year, in fact, today, 10 years ago today, that WGBH's own Brian O'Donovan gathered some friends and some family on stage at the Somerville Theater to put on a show. Well, over the last 10 years, he's taken that show and he's parlayed it into a little bit of a mini industry, and certainly for a lot of people here, a holiday tradition. And this is a Christmas Celtic Sojourn, gone from one show to a series of shows now 10 years later, and he's with me now in the studio to preview this year's and look back on 10 years of stories from A Christmas Celtic Sojourn. How you doing, Brian?
Great to be with you, Edgar.
Thanks for being with us on Boston Public Radio.
It is wonderful. Just come downstairs and be right here.
So, A Christmas Celtic Sojourn, 10 years now. For somebody who's been there, I think a lot of GBH listeners in our community here have taken part in this. But for somebody who hasn't, can you give us the quick kind of overview of what exactly A Christmas Celtic Sojourn is?
Well, I think the best overview really goes back to the conversation that was just happening right there before with Callie. It was talking about the nature of this time of the year. And really what A Christmas Celtic Sojourn is about is a gathering. It doesn't really matter what your tradition is. It's about getting together and celebrating this time of the year, which has so many connotations to it, religious and otherwise, quite frankly. But just being together. It's a celebration of music and song and traditions from around the Celtic world, and indeed quite a distance beyond, because it is more about the togetherness than it is about any one ethnicity or even the cultural accoutrements of an ethnicity. And but it is that mixture. And I guess in entertainment terms, the way I describe it is, it's a good old fashioned variety show.
Yeah,
singing and dancing and poetry and sentiments of the season, meaning that this time of year allows us to be a little sentimental. It has kids dancers involved, but a lot of the people that we gather here are touring musicians of the highest caliber. Maybe not household names, because the genre isn't geared towards that, but they're always top-notch musicians who always bring a surprise or two to the show.
So, you know, you're very careful to use the word Celtic, which means more than just Irish. I mean, mm-hmm. you hear your accent, people often call the music Irish music, or they think of Ireland, but you're looking across many countries beyond Ireland. Are those traditions the same as the Irish traditions? Do they vary? Are these musicians from different areas? Are the musicians from different traditions?
And they are. The answer is yes. I mean, the Celtic countries, largely without going into a diatribe on it, are really most popularly represented by Ireland and Scotland. But there are actually six Celtic countries, and it even expands beyond that. Ireland and Scotland and the Isle of Man has its own tradition. Wales and Cornwall and Brittany in the northwest of France are the other three Celtic countries. Even Galicia and Asturias in the northwest of Spain are actually Celtic countries as well. And I am told that Somerville has applied for membership. The paperwork is still in process.
Led by the folks at the Burren, right?
Exactly. But we celebrate all of that. But of course, it is dominated by the Irish-Scottish tradition. And this year, we're featuring some Breton music from Brittany. But the participants are often Scottish and Irish, bringing their own traditions. This year, we've got somebody from the island of Lewis in the Hebrides, for example, who's bringing a very specific song to us from her home place.
All right, we're talking about musician songs. Let's listen to some music. What do you say?
I think that's a good idea.
All right, so 10 years, you've often recorded these performances, these shows. You do some things kind of year in and year out, but the show's different every year as well.
Very different. I mean, it does, again, what people do around these times of the year. They love to do the same thing. You know, my kids used to always say, "But Dad, we always went and got the tree here." And if there was ever a diversion from that, I was in deep trouble, because we always got in the same place at the same time. And that's what we do. There are traditions that come into every show, and then there's the wild cards that are completely outside of it. But Seamus Egan, who is the founding member of Solace, is our music director, and he always brings a different twist. So when my own daughter, Fionnuala O'Donovan, came up with this song, In the Bleak Midwinter, a slightly different version of it than we're used to hearing in this country, when she did this, Seamus Egan wrapped it in absolutely beautiful, beautiful clothing. And it really signified a kind of a creative approach to what was a popular Christmas carol.
Let's hear a little bit about of this. This is In the Bleak Midwinter. This is your own daughter, Fionnuala O'Donovan. This is a family affair for you. You've got a musical family. Your daughter's often involved. Let's hear this particular version that you're talking about, arranged by Mr. Seamus Egan. So it's a beautiful moment, kind of a quiet moment. You know, I think a lot of times when you think about a holiday show, you mm-hmm. know, it's often pitched as the holiday spectacular, or there, you know what I mean? There's fireworks and there's dances. And
it's true, a high-stepping and high-kicking affair.
Yeah.
And I think the Globe said it best. Scott Allerick of the Globe, a number of years ago, he said, when most Christmas shows come on like Red Bull, A Christmas Celtic Sojourn is more like a warm cup of cocoa.
That's pretty good.
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
And now it has its spectacular, as we're going to hear in a little while, it has its spectacular moments as well, because that's what, you know, Celtic music, Irish music is all about. It's that kind of sadness, that minor key sadness and reflection, as evidenced by In the Bleak Midwinter, a pretty kind of Irish approach to the arrangement there. That kind of sadness, as I said, remembering memory, commemorating something that might have happened. A lot of sad things happened in our history over the years. But then the wildness, the exuberance of Cayley that allows, you know, traditional Irish reels to be stepped out in the middle of a street or a pub or a family gathering at a kitchen.
Staying with sort of the sadness and overcoming sadness, mm-hmm. there's a great moment that I've heard you talk about a number of times. There's a particular tune called Christmas in the Trenches, which is brought to you by Robbie O'Connell.
It's really a lovely song written by John McCutcheon, a great songwriter, but also telling a wonderful story that's true, Edgar, and it really sticks with me because of what happened back in Christmas Eve, 1914. The First World War was in full swing at that stage and had literally descended into a kind of a, you know, trench warfare with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
Huge brutality.
This is post-Somme. And these guys were really kicking the heck out of one another, the Germans and the British, who are made up of a lot of allies. There was Australians involved and a lot of Scottish in this particular incident. And along the line, and particularly in this one place, they started singing Christmas carols across the trenches at each other. And British guy looked up and the Germans were coming towards him on the line waving a white flag. And there was a Christmas truce, a spontaneous Christmas truce that allowed those soldiers to come together, share stories. They played a soccer game together. They shared brandy. They shared stories of home in the broken languages that they could each speak. And then, of course, after it all came to an end, Christmas Eve was over, they went back to war. And there was a lot of repercussions to it as well, because those in power did not want this to happen.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing story called The Christmas Truce.
Commemorated in this song, and we're going to hear a little bit of it. And this is the moment in the song where the story is being told about a German soldier walking up with a white flag. Let's hear a little.
The frontline sentry cried. All sights were fixed on one lone figure trudging from their side. Truce flag like a Christmas star shone on that plain so bright as he bravely strolled unarmed into the night. Then one by one on either side.
So nice, kind of another kind of pensive moment. Beautiful story, though.
It's a lovely story, and it kind of, again, it allows people, you know, whether again, harkening back to the previous conversation with Callie, you know, if you're sitting in a theater and somebody's telling that story, it does not matter
Absolutely.
Whether you're Christian or secular. You're just listening to a story. And a lot of what we do on stage tells those stories. They're stories of human endeavor, the sadness of missing home. You know, the Celtic countries emigrated a lot to this country and other parts of the world. And Christmas is a time to bring that home and share those stories and communicate, even if it's not a story song or doesn't have words to it. We're just sharing a culture at a time of the year when people have gathered to keep out the cold yeah. and celebrate the fact that it was the darkest time of the year, meaning that it was getting better after that. This
right.
is as bad as it's going to get, guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm talking with Brian O'Donovan, WGBH's Celtic Sojourn, about his 10 years of doing a Christmas Celtic Sojourn series of concerts kicking off this weekend all over New England. You talked about some of these songs have stories, some don't, and we also were talking about a little bit of fun. So I want to play a portion of a moment from a couple of years ago. I happened to actually be at this Christmas Celtic Sojourn, and this is a little back and forth between an Irish drummer on what's called the baron, mm-hmm. which is like an Irish drum, and a dancer. This is a really wonderful moment. You can hear it. We're going to play a little here. You'll hear the drummer, and then you'll hear the dancer, and they're kind of doing a back and forth here. Let's hear a little. You don't have to even speak the language to get into the joy of that moment, right?
Definitely not. And it translates. Whoever would have thunk? Dancing on radio translates. The humor of it comes through. But it is. It's about that. It's a gathering. I keep going back to that. And the audience is part of it. They're not just observing it. They feel as if they've kind of come into this place where there are some great musicians and singers and dancers gathered, and they are participating in a good old-fashioned hooly.
All right. So when you started this, Brian, it was a one-off in mm-hmm. your mind. You did a show at the Somerville Theater, like you said, sort of a gathering of friends and family, and you're so plugged into the music world. A lot of your friends, musicians, brought them together. It's grown over the 10 years. You've now got a series of shows. You're in a bunch of different theaters. How's it changed over those 10 years?
It's probably become a little bit more sophisticated, but not much, because you don't want it to be, you know, you don't want it to become, you know, a Madison Square Garden show, because that's not what it's about. But, you know, it's given us the scope. We have expanded, as you said, from a single show, and I thought it was going to remain a single show. Now it's 11 shows in 5 cities.
Wow.
So it's gotten big, but that gives us the scope as well to reach out beyond our borders here in the US and bring in musicians from all over the world to continue to push those boundaries. And sometimes, even though I've seen all these folks in concert, bringing them together, you don't know what that pie is going to taste like when it comes out of the oven. And that's what's very exciting.
Yeah, a couple of the traditions that we sort of touched on. One is that you do, and I think that piece that we just heard with the dancer and mm-hmm. the drummer is one of the things that you do is you do sort of a round robin every year where all the musicians kind of get up on stage and
Absolutely.
They all sort of take a turn, and that's what that moment sort of came from. Another tradition is you always do O Holy Night.
We do. That's a kind of one chestnut. That kind of happened by accident. It happens to be one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, mine too.
I'm a pretty sentimental guy. Yeah. And this is as sentimental as it gets, O Holy Night. But we always have a female singer. We always ask to bring have that singer bring a version of O Holy Night. And we don't put any parameters on that. So they've come with slower versions, with more up-tempo versions, big with full string behind them, and very, very stripped down, simple ones. And it's really it's wonderful just to watch what each and every one of them bring. And this one, I think you've taken, is from last year's edition of the program.
That's right.
And it has Ruth Moody, who is well known as one of the singers in the Wailin' Jennies. She was with us from Canada, and she just did an excellent version of
it. Let's hear a little. Clear as a bell.
It really, really is nice. Tara Bell. She's a beautiful voice, and she brought us a great rendition of it. Our singer this year, Aileth McCormack from Lewis, I've just been at rehearsals. She is bringing a rendition of it that's going to be just a knockout.
So where you've implied you're going to be in a bunch of different cities and stuff.
Yep.
Talk to us about this year quickly.
Very quickly, we open in Derry, New Hampshire at the Pinkerton Academy, Stockbridge Theatre. There are only a few tickets left. We come back to the Cutler Majestic, where there are a couple of tickets left. Those shows on Sunday, and Sunday afternoon particularly, very, very much close to being sold out. And then we do a national broadcast. So those of you who are listening...
And that's new, right? This
totally
national
new.
Broadcast thing's new.
National
so.
Broadcast live. Ben Rowe, our wonderful director of classical services here at GBH, is directing it and bringing it to distribute it over PRI. But those of you listening who can't get to the theatre, you can listen to 89.7 at 6 o'clock on Sunday and hear it live. We then go on to other shows back at the Cutler Majestic, and there are still some tickets later in the week, and we've got some availability of tickets in Worcester and in Providence on Wednesday. Rockport is completely sold out, has been sold out for two shows since September, quite frankly.
You often sell out as they approach. So if people are interested in tickets, we'll have links up on our website, mm-hmm. wgbhnews.org, links to all that information to get
those
tickets.
That's the best way to do it.
So there you go. Brian O'Donovan, the man behind A Celtic Sojourn, here on 89.7 every Saturday, and the man behind A Christmas Celtic Sojourn now for the last 10 years. Thanks for stopping by Boston Public Radio.
Great to be here, and whatever you celebrate, happy this time of the year and happy togetherness at this time of the year.
And here's to the 21st coming and the shortest day of the year, so we can get on the other side of it and get some longer days.
Absolutely.
And one last time, here she is to take us home. Callie Crossley, welcome back to the studio.
You've been listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. The conversation continues online at wgbhnews.org. We'll be back tomorrow with our Week in Review, and we'll hear from Father Bob, better known as Boston College's Dancing Priest. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.